And the program moving ahead here, Jeremy Lawrence. Roger with a very puzzled look on his face, which is normal for Roger. So
I didn't know whether to introduce myself or not.
Yeah, there was that momentary pause.
We're doing this freeform today.
See, I figured you were sitting here going, let's see, what's my name? George? No.
Actually, I was...
Brett? No, we just had him.
I was eating a chocolate chip cookie from a local representative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she makes a mean chocolate chip cookie.
And she kept her promise to do that.
Yes.
So,
well, I got to mention her name, Margaret O'Brien.
Of course.
She brought chocolate chip cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very good.
Mm-hmm.
Very delicious.
And they were just for Jeremy and I, but the gracious people that we are, mm-hmm. we've shared them with everybody.
Certainly.
Yeah.
So chances are they'll be gone here in another 5 minutes
or
so. But,
yeah, that's true. There'll probably be an empty plate on your desk.
Yeah, they're probably being ransacked right now.
Well, now that Michael, the wonder producer, it's an even day.
Okay. He's still Bronco boy as far as I'm concerned. But okay.
But now that he knows where said cookies are, they're in trouble.
Of course. And since you mentioned it on the air, everyone else does now.
Yeah. So they're making their way over there.
I'm glad I had one. But, yeah, it was one of those moments. We were talking with her late last week, and she promised to bring them. So there you go, a politician that keeps her word.
Yes.
You know, so can't complain about that.
At least on the important stuff. Chocolate chip cookies.
Of course. You know, the other stuff, health care, that sort of thing, nah. Yeah. You know,
but bring those cookies.
But if you can't trust somebody on a promise of chocolate chip cookies, I mean, hello.
Right there it is.
Yes.
So, interesting times this last hour. If you missed out on it, you missed out on a lot.
Yeah.
And we had Congressman Fred Upton closing things out the hour-wise for us there. And we talked about NSA. We talked about healthcare.gov and the problems they've had of late. That really, really gave me a lot of pause that they were saying there's that much vulnerability. It makes me glad I've not logged on to that site and given them any information.
Well, you know, safety on the Internet is a relative thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that you can ever be safe. I'm guessing, now this is just a guess, but mm-hmm. Target thought they had their transactions secure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If they knew they had major limitations, they would have done something about it.
Certainly.
And all of a sudden, they found out their data not quite as secure as they thought.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the government works in the real world, too.
That usually a lot later than the real world.
Well, but they work in the real world, too, and security on the Internet mm-hmm. is a relative thing.
Certainly.
And it's a fluid thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it'd be interesting to see how all of that works out there. And, you know, I think that, you know, Fred was talking about the efforts they're making to make sure that the information is safe. We just kind of do our best to hope that, you know what? All of that will come through, and we'll get some of the best minds on it, and hopefully the solution will work a whole lot faster than the implementation so far, which has been just horrid.
Well, and the Affordable Care Act is not the only data we hope the government keeps secure and away from hackers.
Mm-hmm. Social Security numbers, for instance.
Yes.
That would be an example. There's plenty of stuff in the Defense Department mm-hmm. that I wouldn't want, say, the Chinese mm-hmm. hacking their way into.
Or the IRS.
The government has all sorts of data, mm-hmm. not just health care, that they have to keep protected.
Sure, sure.
And as we're looking, you know, we talked with Fred, as we're looking at where the data should be stored if we're not going to allow the NSA to have it,
mm-hmm.
Security has to be one of the concerns.
Well, security, and I think the thing that's on my mind is there's an awful lot of people that are going to look at this and say, all right, well, the government's not getting the information. Instead, the government will get the information because they look at it as one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
And for an awful lot of people, that answer is not going to be necessarily good enough to say, All right, well, instead of the government having the information, the government has it. Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's going to be some concerns there, and I think rightly so.
Yeah, but you don't want the data in the hands of companies that mm-hmm. know how to mm-hmm. data mine.
Mm-hmm.
Google has incredible expertise. I'm thinking comparable to the NSA mm-hmm. in levels of expertise mm-hmm. in mining data.
Mm-hmm. And if not better.
And so there would be a place I wouldn't want this data stored.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it all works out.
But, yeah.
But Roger, I was going to ask you a totally different topic.
Okay.
But I don't know if you saw this. I saw this, I think it was Friday night. I just saw the beginnings of this story. They were talking about it on CNN. ABC's talking. It's really gotten all over the place. But there was a death row inmate in the state of Ohio that went through execution with a new drug concoction.
Mm-hmm.
And the family of the man, the man's name is Dennis McGuire, and he was sentenced to death. Over, I believe it's, from what I'm seeing on the story here, is the 1989 rape and murder of a woman who was 8 months pregnant.
A really heinous crime.
Yes, yeah. Yes. The family was there at the execution, and they watched him die over the course of 26 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
As the story goes, this is a relatively new concoction. This is being used because the drugs that they've used originally, apparently the suppliers of those drugs are European suppliers, and they said, you know what, if you're going to use them for executions, you can't use our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of had to go back to the drawing board on it and find something new that would do the job. In this case, they're saying 26 minutes, they saw him gasping and snorting and making some other sounds, sounded as if he was in distress. And there's been talk back and forth about, were his rights violated? They're making claims to the Eighth Amendment, saying cruel and unusual punishment. And there is a lawsuit that is in the works right now on the behalf of the family. What they're saying at this point is that they're not necessarily interested in money out of this. They want to make sure that it doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
So we hashed over it a little bit as we were talking about different things to talk about today. And I felt like this was something that was worth discussing because, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but I look at this and I look at it from a lot of different angles, and there's really no one way of looking at it without kind of going, yeah, but, if mm-hmm. you know what I mean.
Yeah. Heinous crime. And personally, I'm opposed to capital punishment.
Mm-hmm.
We have a track record as a country of being able to keep people in prison successfully.
Mm-hmm.
The maximum security prisons in this country are pretty effective. And it is very expensive to execute people. It is actually, when you figure in the court costs and such,
mm-hmm.
it's cheaper to keep them in prison for the rest of their life than to execute them. And I also think that is more punishment. Sitting in that little confined area for the next 40, 50 years mm-hmm. to think about your crime, I think that's a reasonable thing. But torture is not something that we as a society should endorse. And if it took 26 minutes for this guy to die, that begins to sound like torture to mm-hmm. me versus an execution.
Well, and I don't think that that the state of Ohio is sitting here going, okay, well, this is going to take 26 minutes, so, you know, I don't think anybody was looking at that, but I just think they really did not know that that was going to come to be. Now, how do you plan for that? I mean, do you get into the situation and you say, wow, he's taking a while here. We need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, what, do you have a backup plan at that point? Obviously, there wasn't one. And there's been some talk in other states, and you mentioned that it's eluding me right now. I think Wyoming was one of them.
And Missouri is now talking about bringing back firing squads mm-hmm. and allowing that to be a choice for the person to be executed. Mm-hmm. But this came up because in their last execution, it was discovered that the state of Missouri had bought illegal drugs to execute.
Yeah.
The only pharmacy that would compound the drugs necessary for the execution was not licensed for the state of Missouri, and yet the state of Missouri went to Oklahoma and bought those drugs and brought it into mm-hmm. the state mm-hmm. of Missouri to perform an execution. And so they're at least considering offering a firing squad as an option.
And it's an interesting option. I mean, that was out there, you know, pre-electric chair days, really. That was kind of the way to do it, I suppose. And I'm no expert on execution. But
replaced firing squads.
Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah. All right. See, because I don't keep up on this stuff.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's not my number one priority in life. But I think the thing that, and this is another whole issue on top of this. If you look at the story itself, he was being executed for a crime that took place in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about, I mean, how many years did it take for the state to finally get to the point of where, okay, we've gone through all of this stuff, we've gone through everything that needed to happen, now we're going to carry out sentence. That's a pretty long period of time mm-hmm. to be able to, and, you know, could the costs be taken down by saying, okay, let's expedite the process in terms of reviewing a death penalty case, because, you know, it goes through appeal upon appeal upon appeal, and it should. I think you need to have more than one set of eyes looking at it, but is it good to have somebody sitting there from 89 until now to finally get around to punishment for what they did?
Well, is that a form of torture in some respects? Mm-hmm. That since 1989, living in death row, is that torture? And I guess what bothers me is that it doesn't happen very frequently, but we hear of these stories of people imprisoned for crimes they didn't commit. Mm-hmm. And once you've executed somebody, how do you go, oh, crap.
Yeah, you can't bring them back at that point.
Yeah. But,
you know, and with those, you just have to make sure that you got it right, which is why I say let's have extra sets of eyes looking at it and make sure that it's not just one court that signs off and says, all right, that's it, take them outside and line them up against a wall. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think anybody's advocating that,
mm-hmm.
but there's got to be something that takes at least, I'd say, a good decade out of that, if not more, because he was sitting there for, what, 20-plus years
mm-hmm.
waiting on punishment to take place. Mm-hmm. Certainly there were some appeals going on there, but you got to think they have, you got to be able to shorten that somehow. But let's head to the phones here. Bob is waiting on the line. Bob in Portage, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jeremy. I, too, like you, I'm not an expert on executions, mm-hmm. thank God. I always found the lethal injection thing a little odd. They strap them to the table, and they've got three chemicals. They're going to go through an IV and kill this person.
Mm-hmm.
But they put alcohol in a little cotton swab before they put the IV in. What's up with that? You don't want to risk a nasty infection?
Well, procedure, I suppose. I mean, I don't know that anybody thinks about that. But
you think it's a little odd?
Well, because there's always the possibility of a last-minute 1 minute to midnight phone call from the governor pulling it out. And wouldn't it be an interesting lawsuit if the governor pardoned him and then he died of an infection from where they put the IV tube in his arm?
Sure.
So I'm supposing that's why they do it.
It's a liability issue, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Just in case they can't kill you instantly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thanks, guys.
What I don't understand is I have had a number of pets mm-hmm. put down.
Yeah.
And it didn't take 26 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very peaceful. Mm-hmm. And maybe those are the products that the companies in Europe, where they really frown on capital mm-hmm. punishment, said, we're not going to allow you to use our drugs to kill humans. Mm-hmm. Maybe pet euthanasia is acceptable.
Could be. I don't know. I don't know what the story is.
But why can't we put people to sleep like you do prior to surgery before we do this? Why wasn't this guy anesthetized?
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it took 26 minutes doesn't make any difference to him because he was unconscious.
And completely unaware of it.
Unaware yeah. of mm-hmm. it. I don't understand yeah. The logistics here, but it doesn't seem like we're doing this in an efficient manner.
Doesn't seem that way. Well, we continue the discussion straight ahead. Make sure you stay with us. And by the way, if you've got one of those computer passwords, you think maybe it is a little too easy. We're going to go down the list at some point soon and be able to tell you if your password is on that list.
Do you think mine of 123456, do you think that might be a problem, Jeremy?
Well, it might. And welcome to the show. Yes, that sound you're hearing is Roger bouncing to the music, apparently.
I like this.
You're like, you're just going to prove uh-huh. we need some WD-40 because the seat was just...
Oh, that wasn't the seat. That's my knees.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at least we know that. So, all right. Before we continue with anything else, it's a timeout for traffic.
All right. This coming in from a texter. Two cars are stopped at the intersection of Oakland and Romance Road. One car is stalled and is getting a jump from another car. So just be cautious when you're approaching the intersection of Oakland and Romance.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yes.
So
we have an obstruction.
Mm-hmm.
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 I suggested that we not spoil the surprise for you folks, but Jeremy and Michael decided to give the traffic update anyway.
Yes. We outvoted you.
Yeah. Unlike certain co-hosts of the show, I want you to be informed. Not that I'm mentioning anyone in particular,
yeah.
Roger.
His initials are Roger Taylor.
And he didn't want you to find out about the traffic update. He wanted you to be surprised when you came to that intersection.
Of course, but we wanted you to know, so yeah. There you go. See, so at least two out of the three of us are being full service.
Right. Mm-hmm. Two of the three have a conscience.
Well, we're going to be full service for you. You have that internet password handy for whatever site, because if you think you got it nailed down, you might be surprised.
Yeah.
There's some interesting stuff on this bad list. Stay tuned. Portion of the program brought to you by Asthma Allergy Centers of Southwest Michigan. For the office nearest you, visit asthmaallergycenters.com. Jeremy Lawrence here with you, along with
Raj Taylor
and Michael Loudon,
the Wonder Producer.
There you go. I was say that guy, but you know,
you can send the check. You've got my home address. Just send the check.
Okay. How much are we talking?
Oh, well, just send me the check, sign it, I'll fill in the amount
there
for
you.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
He'll just take that right out of the whole equation.
Yeah,
for
yeah you don't have to be concern yourself with that.
So when my bank account's at zero, I'll know why.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. When they call you and say your check bounced. Yeah.
I'll be in trouble.
I'm a little like the IRS. How much money you got? Send it in.
I'm not going to reveal that information right now.
It's kind of like those old IRS forms.
Yeah. You know, how much money you got?
How much money did you make? Send it in.
Yeah.
And if you have any comments, put it in the space below, which is no bigger than a thimble.
Right.
So one of the things that, you know, and we talked about it earlier in the show, that, you know, having your information secured online, very important, but it's something that an awful lot of people don't take it quite as important, I suppose, because if you think about it, sometimes it's as easy as hacking your password. You know, they'll be able to get into your email or get into whatever place that you've got secured data. Online banking, you know, you've got passwords there. And Splash Data has come up with a list of the worst passwords from the previous year.
Where does my 123456 stand?
Well, actually, it is the new number one.
Yeah. That means you better.
I'm number one.
Yeah, number one at getting hacked.
I was kidding, hackers out there. That was a joke.
You know, I keep when I see that, and if you look up and down the list, there's an awful lot of combinations of that. You have 123456, 123456789, all the way up through 0, all the way through 7. There's just different variations mm-hmm. of that people will use. And I always flash back to that scene from the movie Spaceballs, where they say the combination is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and one of the characters says, "That's what an idiot puts on his luggage."
Yep.
So, and among some of the other passwords that are quite vulnerable
mm-hmm.
are things not only like the numbers, but number 2 on the list, which was number 1 the previous year. The password is password.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's so tricky.
A lot of creativity in that one.
Or they'll do QWERTY.
Oh, for their mm-hmm. keyboard.
For the keyboard. You just sit there and... Okay. Or 111111.
Ooh.
That's a tough one. ABC123. Here's a creative one. I love you.
Hmm.
That's I wouldn't have thought of using that as a password, but apparently it's something that's been on the list too. It's new to the top 10, but it's not new to the list.
Interesting.
It just moved up to number 9.
Yeah.
Down the list a little ways is this one, and this is one that I've used not here, thankfully, but at other organizations I've worked for. Let me in.
Hmm. Let me in.
Let me in. Admin, another password there that some people use. And apparently there's other ones like monkey, shadow, sunshine, password 1. Princess is a new one that's on the list this year.
Well, now, if I used princess, would that be really effective? Because anybody who knows me knows I'm unlikely a princess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, who knows? But apparently with a lot of these, there will be things that will just, if they're going to try and hack into your email or whatever, they'll just sit there and try different combinations of things, different words.
Yeah.
And something like that. That's a word that people understand. And so that's why they always say, have a password that's got a different character in it and a capital letter and numbers and whatever. And they always tell you have different passwords for every site,
mm-hmm.
which I understand why they do that.
Yeah, because if somebody does get mm-hmm. a password, they only have a password to one site.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have your password for everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that bothers me about this is the sites that will make you change your password every 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for sites that there is no way on earth, if somebody hacked it, that it would be anything worthwhile there. You know, like you have a membership to an online card site or something like mm-hmm. that. Or, you know, there's a lot of them out there. I know when I was a job seeker, there was one that made me change every 90 days, and it couldn't be the same thing that I had used previously.
Mm-hmm. And so then you're tempted to write down your password mm-hmm. so you can remember them,
mm-hmm.
and that becomes a security risk.
Of course.
Because now all they have to do is steal your password list.
Mm-hmm. And then they've got everything at that point.
I actually use a software package to create my passwords.
Oh, okay.
And then it stores them. Mm-hmm. And it really does make exactly what you were saying, two uppercase letters, three numerics, mm-hmm. and...
throw in the ampersand, a percentage sign, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I find myself comfortable with that because mm-hmm. I don't have to remember a password, and I do have a password for every one of my sites.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever use a password generating software?
I have not before,
mm-hmm.
but it gives you pretty secure passwords, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Dan from Pawpaw wanted to add a comment. He actually did say if you hit the shift and use any of those symbols above the number row, he said it makes it 14,000 times harder for somebody to crack that password.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm not the guy that's here to give you tips on how to get that unbeatable password because I don't know myself. But, you know, maybe that's where you take a recognizable word and about every third or fourth character, throw in one of those.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, and then they won't find it as easy or do something. I think the favorite one that I'd heard is come up with something that looks sort of like this. And they gave us this gibberish password. So come up with something that looks sort of like this that means something to you but would mean nothing to anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we came up with something, and it works. You know, but you always have to sit there and
So far.
And you always have to sit there and kind of outthink people because, you know, there are hackers out there that are sitting there going, okay, how do we hack into this today?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And the scary part about it is... You know, there's actually job security for former hackers. I don't know if you knew this.
Oh, absolutely.
But a lot of these guys will start working for the security firms and doing things to be able to secure from people just like them because they know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You
absolutely.
Know, which is where you want your expert, but at the same time, boy, that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Well, that's I mentioned this a while ago. Back in my college days, I took a course in criminology.
Mm-hmm.
And Professor Braithwaite, I remember his name all these years ago, but he said, if you want to learn how to be a criminal, don't go talk to people in prisons. Those were the failures at
That's
criminal
true.
Activity.
Yes.
You want to talk to people who committed crimes and did not get caught. And
how do you find them if they didn't get caught?
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting. He said the problem with most studies of the criminal mindset is mm-hmm. they go to prisons to interview them.
Sure.
And those are the failures.
Yeah, they got caught and didn't get away with it.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, 70% of all studies are made up anyway. So,
yes.
You know, it's...
At least 70. I've seen 72.
72%.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What was your source on that? Well, we're going to continue ahead. You know, high-speed rail, it's always talked about as this thing of the future, but could it be a thing of the past?
Yeah.
A relic?
Are we rushing to catch up to a train that's already late?
We'll talk about it here in just a little bit, so make sure you keep it right where you got it. And the program continues ahead. Jeremy Lawrence here with you. Roger Taylor as well. We were just taking sports tips from Roger. I don't know if that's a good thing.
I stayed in a Holiday Inn owned by Mickey Mantle. He was a baseball player,
yes,
Michael.
Yes, he wore number 7.
Okay.
And I don't really like the Yankees.
Didn't make any difference to me.
No, but Roger asked us that age-old question. Okay. Who won yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's if you're going to get sports tips there, forget it.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
It shows you Roger wasn't watching football yesterday.
Nope, I wasn't.
See, now I got to say, I was not watching myself, but even I knew who won and lost. But
so we're all set for the Super Bowl?
Yes.
When is the Super Bowl?
It's going to be Sunday, February 2nd. It's going to be in New York City. It's going to be the first Super Bowl played in a cold weather climate outdoors. So we're thinking maybe it's going to snow, but from what I heard right now, they're predicting rain. But that's still, you know, little less than 2 weeks away, so that could definitely change.
But what I'd like to see is the weather they had for that Detroit-Philadelphia game earlier this season. That's what I want for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, when a receiver dives and tries to catch the ball, they get a face full of snow like Calvin Johnson did.
Years ago, I remember watching a game, and this will show you how long ago it was. The Oilers were still a team. But it was the Oilers and Browns, and they were having a snowball fight on the sidelines. So, I mean, that's what I want to see in a football game.
That'd
right
be
there.
Funny.
Yeah. A football game and a snowball fight broke out.
There,
huh?
There you go. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of like when you go to a fight and a hockey game breaks out.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
But interesting, totally different topic. And this comes from EpicTimes.com. They've got a story there called A 21st Century Canal. And it tells the story of how President Monroe, back in 1825, signed a bill that chartered the construction of a canal. And by the time that it was done, in 1850, the railroad had already come along and outmoded the whole thing. And eventually the railroad came along and bought up the canal, and I guess they're using that as right-of-way now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in talking about this, they're bringing up high-speed rail because the president has talked about this, and it intrigues me, I will admit that. But the president's talked about high-speed rail in the United States, how it makes sense, how it's a good thing, and it would get people to where they want to go faster, less driving, less fuel used, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly some noble goals. But the writer of this piece, Charles Faddis, is asking the question, could this be a situation where it's a 21st century canal that he's going after?
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about that California is looking to have a system of high-speed rail. They're mainly coming up with a line that would run from L.A. to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that it would cost, I think they were saying, $68 billion to build this rail. Originally, they were saying that it was going to take It was somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.5 hours to get between the cities. Now they're saying, I don't think we're going to be able to do that. It'll take about 4 hours and cost twice as much as what it originally was going to cost.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why you bring this up, and I don't know if, Roger, I don't know if you saw this last year. There was the guy that's founder of Tesla Motors, CEO of SpaceX, has a completely different, cost-effective transportation solution, if they can make it work, called the Hyperloop, which basically my understanding of it is that it's sort of like a giant bank tube.
Yeah.
It's probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah. But
people get into one of these things and then it goes 800 miles per hour from one place to another, uses less energy all the way around, seems like it's a better thing. Now, it's still on the drawing board at this point. But the author of this piece is wondering, and I've got to wonder as well, if people wouldn't look at this after we spend $68 billion on this, if the state of California goes through with it, if they won't look at this and get off their high-speed train in San Francisco and look over and go, and there are the people that just came in on the Hyperloop. They left L.A. half an hour ago.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of speed that this thing they're talking about. And they're talking about that that longer distances, the Hyperloop would be even faster because they can take you up to incredible speeds in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it intrigues me, but I kind of wonder, okay, if it's cheaper, shouldn't we be spending money on the new technology?
Mm-hmm.
On a theoretical basis, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you can look at any technology and understand that as soon as you buy that new laptop, next week there's going to be a laptop release that's going to outperform the one you just purchased.
Sure.
And if you constantly don't do anything because there's going to be another technological development, well, you're paralyzed, and
then we're stuck in horse and buggy. But
certainly, it seems we do have an opportunity here to leapfrog dated technology, and I don't know that I'm willing to stop all high-speed rail development, but I think this concept certainly deserves looking at and seeing if it is as practical and efficient as it seems.
Certainly. Now, one of the things that's being brought up here, and I think this is what makes it even more attractive, total estimated cost for the Hyperloop would be $6 billion versus the $68 billion, which, you know, I don't know. I mean, the government doesn't tend to be a bargain shopper, but maybe this is one of those cases to say, okay, even if you look at this estimated cost and say $6 billion, all right, let's double it. Just to say, all right, there's going to be a lot of cost overruns, things get more expensive. $12 billion is still a whole lot better than $68
billion.
So you got to wonder if – and you know, how do you pick that technology and say, all right, this is the next big thing and we're latching onto this?
Yeah. Or is it – are you old enough to remember Beta?
Of course.
And VHS? Beta was a better format. The tape had a much simpler path through the machine. The picture quality was better, and yet the world went VHS.
Sure.
Not that it matters anymore, because nobody does either anymore.
Well, and then I think, you know, both of those technologies worked. There was just an awful lot of factors that went into why VHS was adopted and not Beta, which another story for another time.
Yeah.
If you don't know that, if you don't, look it up, because it's fascinating.
Yeah,
it really
it is.
But this is one of those things where I think, you know, I wonder if this wouldn't be the thing that you could, if you were a visionary leader, grab onto this and say, look, here's a technology we need to be looking seriously at. And here's why. And if we, you know, kind of have that next wave of what Eisenhower did with the interstate system.
Yeah.
You just say, all right, we'll use this, and that's the other thing with this. They're talking about using interstate corridors. So you don't even have to buy right-of-way to do it.
Yeah.
Which sounds intriguing to me.
The thing that bothers me with this is the person whose idea it is doesn't want to put any of his money into the process.
Yep, says he's busy, I guess.
Yeah, so. And I'm going to let other... I'm just going to give you this idea free, Jeremy. You make it work.
And there's the other side of it. Well, we got to run. Tell you what, we're going to get together and do it again tomorrow. Why don't you join us?
3 o'clock, right here.
We'll be right here.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.